Want to kind of give you an update on where we are. We've had a season where we just finished a study on the book of Ruth, and in 2 weeks we will begin a new series, Lord willing, a study on the book of Acts. And so look forward to that. In the meantime, what we have done is something that I'm not as familiar with. Usually I'm comfortable and familiar going through and teaching through Scripture. But I also believe that there are seasons where it is good to focus in and to take some things and to talk through them. And so this morning, you'll see the title is Rest Well. And we will be talking this morning about rest. And let me begin by saying that I remember when I was working at a coffee shop that will remain nameless at this point so as not to incriminate it. This was many years ago. I was working at a coffee shop. And there was a question that we would always ask when people come in, how are you doing? And there was an answer, and people must have always thought that they were original and maybe the first person who had said the answer in a coffee shop. We would say, how are you doing this morning? They said, well, you know, actually I'm pretty tired. I haven't had my caffeine yet. I haven't had my coffee yet. Right? None of y'all have ever said that, right? And so over and over again, I'm pretty tired, but I'll be better once I get my coffee. Once I get my caffeine. There was one man who came in one time, and he looked like he had literally just rolled out of bed. And I said, you know, how are you doing? And he said, oh, I'm doing, you know, awful. I'm exhausted, but I'll be doing a lot better when I have coffee. And he ordered a large coffee with 6 shots of espresso. And I'll be honest, I don't even know if that was legal, okay? I served it to him, and I don't know what happened to the man, but what I want you to see is that there is, within those statements, there's a diagnosis. And that diagnosis is, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. And then there's also a remedy, which is, I need caffeine. I need coffee. I need something to wake me up. And sadly, what I saw is many of these people, week after week, day after day, would come in, and it was the same thing. I'm exhausted, and they were looking to a remedy that at the end of the day, the next morning left them unchanged and still exhausted. I believe that, you know, at a certain point I wanted to say, you know, they come in and I'd say, how are you doing? And they say, well, I'm exhausted, I need my coffee. I want to say, no, look, you need sleep, okay? You need rest. At a certain point you want to speak into something and apply truth to a situation where maybe someone has diagnosed themselves correctly, but they struggle with the remedy. And this morning, I believe our lives can be like that, that we grow fatigued in all different types of ways. And what we'll often do is we'll apply the wrong remedy to our fatigue. And I don't want you to raise your hand, but if I were to ask you this morning, how many of you all are tired? All right, I bet the hands would go up. If I were to ask you this morning and have you raise your hands, which I'm not, you know, how many of you are your hearts restless this morning? I believe it's something that is common that we all deal with. The definition of restless, which we pretty much know what it means, but it's something that struck me in the definition, which is unable to rest or relax as a result of anxiety, and then it throws this at the end, or boredom. An inability to rest or relax as a result of anxiety or boredom. It covers the whole gamut, doesn't it? We can become restless because we're anxious about something in our life circumstances, but we can also become restless because we're bored with our lives. I remember back in October this year, Roy Stewart and I went to a presbytery meeting, and right before the meeting, I was meeting with and talking with, I'd bumped into a professor that I used to have at Covenant Seminary, Dr. Zach Eswine, and he is now a pastor in St. Louis, and he came up to me and he said, how you doing? And I said, and it had been a tough week, and I said, Zach, honestly, I'm tired. I need some caffeine. No, I didn't say that. I said, look, it's been a rough week. I'm really tired. And we talked for a couple of minutes, and then we went into the meeting. And the moderator said, I want to invite Dr. Zach Eswine. He's going to be sharing with us this morning for the first hour. It's something new that the Presbytery has been doing, and I love it. It's basically they bring someone in to be a pastor to pastors. And so they had called Zach in to come and speak to us. He stands up front, and he says, this morning I want to talk to all of you who are tired. I thought, I can't believe that guy. And he said some things that morning that deeply ministered to me. And I thought, you know, these are some of the same types of things that you all probably need to hear as well. And this isn't exactly what he said at all. It's actually quite different. But I'm very thankful for what he said. I've gleaned a lot from what he said that morning back in October. You know, the question we're looking at this morning, once again, is what are the remedies that we turn to in order to deal with our restlessness? This morning, we want to talk about all different kinds of exhaustion. We're going to talk about that, the types that we face in this world, and the rest and the remedy that we so desperately need. Because at the end, we really do. We want to rest well, don't we? We want to rest well. The message this morning is not so much a study of Matthew 11:28, which is found in your bulletin, but instead it's a desire for us to live out that passage, to live out that verse. So let me pray after I read Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you this morning and we confess that we are restless. Lord, many in here are tired. Lord, maybe exhaustion even is a better way to describe it. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would open our eyes and ears this morning, that you would minister to us in a way that deals with this tiredness that we feel. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember in my very first year in ministry, I was a volunteer leader for a youth ministry called K-Life, and K-Life required a lot of time, a lot of commitment. And I remember that first year, I was like a ministry machine, all right? Keep in mind, I was a college student at Baylor, and so I was already spending 40 to 50 hours a week, either in class or studying, or maybe a lot less than that, but you get the idea. I was a busy college student. And this ministry I was involved with required about 15 hours a week in ministry. And I remember, like a machine, I would stay up till about 1 or 2 in the morning studying and preparing for finals, for homework, and all this. And then what would happen is I would go to bed, get 3 hours of sleep, wake up around 5 o'clock, get up for a Bible study that I was going to teach. And I wasn't just teaching any Bible study. This is one of the most difficult Bible studies. 8th grade, all right? Any 8th graders out there? You all have so much energy that it took tons of energy. But I was like a machine, and I was really impressed how my body kind of impeccably was able to keep that up and go through all of this studying and classes and ministry. And really that year in K-Life, the main thing that we prepared for, we had Bible studies and all this. One of the main emphasis and focus that year was to take kids on a ski trip. And that ski trip was really meant to be part of a pinnacle of that ministry time, to be able to get them away and to minister to them at this retreat. And my machine broke down, all right? We got off of the bus, an 18-hour ride from Waco, Texas to Colorado. And it was within about an hour that I got hit with altitude sickness. Now, I had never had altitude sickness before, and I only had one symptom, and that symptom was extreme exhaustion. Extreme exhaustion. I'm not talking about where I said, hey, I'm tired, I need some coffee to wake me up. I remember sitting at the table in the lodge, and I was talking to people, and I couldn't stay awake. I would literally, hey, how's your life going in ministry? And I'd fall asleep right there at the table. And it was very challenging to my own heart, because the ministry had called, right? I was called to report for action. And for the first time in my life, though I was called to report for action, to serve God in a powerful way, physically, I was too exhausted to respond to that call. And I learned very quickly on that trip that I am not a machine, but I am a creature. and I was put face to face with my humanity. This morning, I really want to speak to your humanity. You know, the exhaustion that can come up in both your life, and if you're a Christian and you're serving God, it can also come up in ministry. And I know, once again, that many of you showed up this morning tired. That fatigue is not something that's new to you, but I want to remind you this morning of what I learned many years ago, that you are not a machine. You are a creature. And we will speak not only to our humanity this morning, but we're also going to speak to the remedy that we long for and that we need. As a creature, you need to understand that you were designed for rest. Right? It goes all the way back to creation. God instituted rest on the seventh day. God was finished from the work that He had done, and so He rested. Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 2, He said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." Meaning this, the Sabbath is for our spiritual and physical nourishment. We were made to rest. We are creatures. Once again, in our passage, Jesus says to the exhausted, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let me give you a roadmap of where we're going to go this morning. Last week in our sermon, we learned that we are in a world that is wasting away, that's literally wearing away, that is churning us through its processes. And we are being ground down in this world. And as we find ourselves in this world and as we begin to face our humanity, we're going to begin to see that the oxygen in our blood is too low, just like mine was too low in Colorado. And that we enter into complete exhaustion. I want to talk about two things. One is what causes fatigue, what causes exhaustion, and then what are the areas where we see that exhaustion kind of play itself out. So what causes it, and then where do we see it play itself out? Well, the very first one is, why is it that we become fatigued? Why is it that we become fatigued? Now, I shared this with conversations several months ago, and I want to share it with you all as well. I think it's the reason that we become fatigued. Now, I want to see, as I share from my own heart, as I confess something that I struggle with, to see if any of this sounds familiar to you, because I believe that the reason we become fatigued is that we treat ourselves oftentimes, once again, as a machine and not a creature. See if any of this sounds familiar, okay? And this is me as a pastor being vulnerable with you, things that I struggle with and deal with. Let's say that someone in the church becomes sick. All right, there's several things that immediately go in my mind and my heart when I learn that someone's sick. One is that I want to make sure that I know all the details, that I know, you know, what's wrong with them, how they got sick, what the problem is. And I want to be there with them. I want to be able to go and travel to wherever it is, if they're at a hospital, to pray with them, to be with them. And I also want to be able to say the exact thing that will bring nourishment to their soul, that'll bring them out of that situation of despair, bring them into a situation of hope. The only problem is, as soon as I get that call, there's another call that comes in, and someone else in the church is having a baby. And I have a desire to be there with them as well. After the birth, all right? But I want to be there for them as well. I want to be there to celebrate. I want to be there to pray with them and to give them the perfect words that they will have so that that point forward, they'll be able to raise this child to be a godly man or woman. The only problem is I get a phone call at that point. Someone else in the church is having a troubled marriage. And I want to be there with them as well. I want to know what to say to be able to help mend and repair their marriage. But then someone else in the church, and you get the idea, right? Now let me ask you, that as you go through your life, do you see any of the struggle that I have here? A desire to know what all the needs are in your life. Think about it with either your kids, with your spouse, with your grandkids, things at work. A desire to know all the needs that are there, to be able to be present with everyone in those needs, to be able to be there for them, and to be able to fix the needs that they have. Do you ever struggle with that? And it keeps going on and on and on. And what I want us to be able to see is that as a parent, feeling that way, wanting to be there for our kids, I'm wanting to be able to say exactly what it is that they need to hear so that they'll be able to be fixed. Now I want to ask those who are in here who have kind of nerdy theological terminology, all right? What is the word that we use to know all things? Omniscient. Very good. What is the word that we use to be everywhere at the same time? All right, omnipresent. What is the word that we use to be able to fix things, to have all power? It's omnipotence. You see what's going on now in the human heart that we are dealing with and we are struggling with? The same sin that Eve of old struggled with. And it is the sin to become like God. And we see ourselves not as a creature, but now as a creator. And the symptom that will always flow out of this is restlessness. Because we can never be everywhere. We can never know all things. We can never fix everything. And what happens is we treat ourselves like a machine and we get worn down. And we have to remind ourselves that we are a creature. As we look at then, so we have the cause of our fatigue, which is this desire to fix everything whenever we're not God, to be everywhere when we're not God, to be able to speak to everything when we're not God. How does it play itself out? Well, I think there's lots of areas where we see fatigue in our life. These are very practical areas. But I want to just hit on three of them this morning. Areas where we find ourselves unable to stay awake at the ministry table at the ski lodge. All right? What are the areas? Well, first of all, mental and emotional fatigue. We see exhaustion come in with mental and emotional fatigue. I'm going to read a passage to you. With each of these three areas, I'm going to read a passage to see if you see this area of fatigue within the passage. All right, you'll see it come up here. This one comes to us from Luke chapter 22. This is a very mentally tough and emotionally tough time in the lives of the disciples. They've just experienced the Lord's Supper. Jesus is saying all these strange things about going away. They're struggling with this. It says, he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. All right, you familiar with where we are in the story here? Jesus praying as he's about to go to the cross. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And then look what it says, those disciples who were emotionally struggling, who were struggling mentally. He says, and when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. But look at the two words after it. He found them sleeping for sorrow. They are so mentally and emotionally fatigued that they're sleeping for sorrow. See, that's the diagnosis, that they're tired, that they're fatigued. The question is, what's the remedy in such a situation? And Jesus goes on to say what the remedy is. In verse 46, it sounds like one that's a Sunday school answer. He said to them, why are you sleeping? And then here's the remedy. Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. And in the midst of having mental and emotional fatigue, the call, the remedy there is prayer. But the problem is, when we come to prayer in these seasons of our life, this is not just regular prayer that we're talking about. This is prayer that Zach Eswine that day back in October called ugly praying. When you're at the end of your rope mentally and emotionally, what you end up seeing is ugly praying. Now, let me explain what that looks like. I was in college and having a real struggle in my own life, wrestling with God on different issues. And I remember I went and just was emotionally fatigued, mentally fatigued. And I went and I found, I was in southern Missouri in the Ozark Mountains, and I found this bleacher that was secluded from everyone else in the Ozark Mountains. And I began to pray, and I will promise you it was ugly praying. Meaning this, that I was bawling my eyes out. I was just so overwhelmed. And there are some people, when they cry, it looks pretty or it looks beautiful. But you know what kind of ugly crying I'm talking about. And this was ugly praying. Jesus calls his disciples once again, who were sleeping for sorrow, to rise and pray. And we have another picture of quote-unquote ugly praying in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Actually speaks back now to what we read earlier. Listen to who else took part in a very strong emotional and difficult time mentally in his life. Hebrews 5, 7 says, "In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears." Once again, ugly praying. "To him who is able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence." Maybe you're here this morning, and it may be that you're emotionally and mentally at your end. You may need to come to a point of ugly prayer, where you just let everything go before God. You may need to get away because you don't want people to see you get ugly, right? But we struggle and we deal in this life, and when it comes to our own mental and emotional fatigue, this is the true remedy. Coming to God broken. Coming to God with our ugly prayers. With our ugly tears and our nose running. With a heart that is broken and a heart that aches. And that prayer is the remedy that Jesus gives us. The second area of fatigue that we have this morning that we often come upon is one that's very basic: physical fatigue. Our Lord himself saw physical fatigue, didn't he? Remember in John chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "So he came to the town of Samaria, called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour." Jesus was fully God, right? But being fully God did not keep him from or give him an exemption from physical fatigue, did it? He's tired. He's tired, and when he's tired, he needs to sit down. It's interesting, another story from our Bible where we see fatigue set in, physical fatigue. An interesting story is 1 Samuel chapter 30. David is taking an army to go into battle, and as he takes that army to go into battle, we pick up in verse 8, David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them? Shall I go into battle?" The Lord answered him, said, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake and shall surely rescue." So David set out, and the 600 men who were with him, and they came to the brook Besor, where those who were left behind stayed. Then listen to this. "But David pursued, he and 400 men, 200 stayed behind, who were too exhausted to cross the brook Besor." Now, I want to make sure you understand this. David's got 600 soldiers. They're about to go into battle. They come to a brook, there are 200 who are exhausted, physically exhausted, and so they stay behind. Now, that may make sense to us, but I want to put this maybe in today's term. What would this look like? Can you imagine the conversation? You're in the army. You're about to go into battle. Right? You go to your superior officer and you say, "Look, boy, I'm going to have to sit this one out. Boy, I am exhausted. I am tired." You see, what David graciously does here is he allows them to sit this one out. They're physically fatigued. He allows them to sit it out. Later on, after they take over and win the battle, the 200 come back with them. And the people who fought in it said, "This isn't fair, we shouldn't let them back." But David gives them dignity, and he says, "No, let them partake of the spoils of war as well." You see, when we get to a point of physical fatigue, what do we need? What's the remedy? We need sleep. We need a break. It's okay sometimes to say, "You know, I need to sit this one out." We need to rest physically. Now, I want to speak. You know, you might think, why speak on something that's so basic here, just rest and sleep? It's because I really have a burden to speak this morning for this short time to a certain group of people within our church. Maybe you've heard this number before. I'm not saying it's 100% accurate here. But there's a lot of truth oftentimes. What do we often hear? That 20% of the people do how much of the work? 80% of the work. All right? Now, I'm not saying that's complete accurate, but there are a lot of people here at Gashlin, right, who carry a big load. And I'm going to speak to them just for a couple of seconds. And this comes as your pastor, one who is here leading this church, the church that you're spending time at, that you're volunteering at, that you're giving all of your time. I want to let you know that there is a time where you say, hey, I've got to sit this one out. I'm going to remind you that you are not a machine, okay? You're a creature. And there is dignity at times to being able to say, I need to rest. And when it is time for you to sit it out, rest, but rest well. Because there's still a battle to be fought. We're going to need you to come back. But when it's time to rest, rest well. And Lord willing, you'll live to fight another day. All right? The next and final area where we get fatigued is in the area of sickness. Similar to the physical, right? But it's also carries with it a little more weight at times. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, we have someone by the name of Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus has a mission from God. He's called to go and to take this support to Paul in the church of Philippi. And we studied this last year. And while he's going there, he gets very sick. Gets very ill, almost to the point of death. And what he needs for a season, the remedy for the sickness for Epaphroditus for a season, because God does restore him, needs sleep, once again, needs food, needs drink, just needs time and sickness. And you see, sometimes you'll see in ministry, I think this is especially true for those in ministry, that we try to be the superhero, right? I remember there was a guy in a Bible study that I used to lead in Louisiana, who his job was to come and to help prepare. We had an early morning Bible study, and he was there to help prepare some of the breakfast stuff for Bible study. And he was there every single week. And there were a couple of times where he came in, and I said, you know, hey, how you doing? He said, well, you know, honestly, the whole family has a stomach bug, and I'm getting it too. But I'm here to serve. Right? And then he tells me this after I've shook his hand. Right? Tell you what I do. If I shake someone's hand and they've said that, I'll do what I call, I'll isolate it. Okay? I'll put it over here. And I run as fast as I can, as soon as I can get away, to Purell, all right, or to a sink, to rinse it off. See, sometimes you need to say, look, just go home. You're sick. You're a creature. You need to go home. You need sleep. You need food. You need time. It's the remedy. And we come here this morning, once again, a reminder that we are creatures. And we need time to rest. Now, some of you hear this morning and you say, that's me. I am tired. I need rest. I need a retreat. All right? I need to get away for a season. I want to use an illustration I've used before, but I want to hit it from a completely different angle. Because when you think of a retreat, there's something beneficial about being able to step out of your current situation. Here where we are, Kansas City, and to be able to go where? Either to the mountains or into the country. Right? Because what we have here in Kansas City is we have what's called light pollution. And we, you know, if you think of looking up at the stars in the city, there's only a couple of stars, right? But you go out and you get a retreat, and there's something as you look up at the sky, you know, the heavens declare the majesty of the Lord. There's something very powerful about that. And I think there's also something that illustrates, that oftentimes what happens is in this world where we're being ground down, we're being worn out, that we have all this artificial light, right? And it distracts us. It keeps us from being able to see the true light. We have all the artificial light of this world, all of our idols, all of the difficult situations and relationships and things at work, things at church, whatever it is, we have all these difficulties, and sometimes we've got to just get away. We need to rest. We need to retreat. And some of you this morning may need that. Some of you may have come to a point where you think, my heart is restless. You know, I think back to that first definition, restless because of anxiety, but also restless because of boredom. And maybe that's you this morning. Those artificial lights for you that block your view of God are the things that we waste so much time in this life because we're just bored. I was flying back from St. Louis this past week. I had a denominational meeting there. And as I was flying back, I was getting on the airplane and I heard the lady in the seat behind me say, she was talking to the guy next to her and she was showing her tablet. And she said, "Hey, I want to show you the perfect app to waste time." And she was so excited. She had found this app for the airplane. I thought, really? Is that what we've come to? That our remedy is to find an app to just give us to waste time? It's these artificial lights that block. Because the stars are still there. It's just this bright artificial light that blocks the stars, blocks the true light. I know that for some, you know, it can be just surfing the web all day in boredom. It could be even becoming addicted to things like Facebook, all right? Facebook in and of itself, not bad, but you can get carried away. There are some in here who say, "I'm tired, I need a retreat, and you need to rest." There are others who might be here this morning who say, "That sounds wonderful. Pastor, I'd love to go and retreat. I'd love to rest. But you don't understand, I'm in the middle of something that I can't retreat from. I'd love to get out in the country and look up at the stars. I'd love to get away from the artificial light, but it is coming down on me." And it could be that you're in the middle of a relationship that you just can't simply abandon, that you have to minister to that relationship right now. Maybe you have a sickness that won't leave you alone or won't leave the person that you love alone. Maybe the situation, either at work or at home, that keeps coming up, that continues to bring stress, and you just can't get away. You can't retreat. You know, it sounds good escaping and going to the stars, but I just can't do it right now. Let me speak to you for a moment, if that's you this morning. I grew up in Conroe, just north of Houston, and as I said earlier, it was my belief my entire life that if you wanted to go and see the real true light, you had to get out of the artificial light. Because with Houston, you can see like two stars, all right? You look up, it's two stars, and one of them is a mistaken plane that's moving, and so. Sometimes, when you need rest, and there's no rest there, what instead you get is comfort. And what I mean by that is I learned on September 13th, 2008, that my understanding of being able to see the stars in Houston was completely wrong. It was completely wrong. You didn't have to get out into the country to see the beauty and majesty of light. You didn't have to get out from the artificial light and travel someplace else. I learned that you didn't have to go anywhere because there was something that came through called Hurricane Ike that came and it knocked out the entire power grid of Houston. I remember I took a generator over to my parents. We were in Louisiana at the time. And I took it over to them. And it was hot inside that night. And I was sitting out on the back porch. And it shocked me. I looked up for the first time from my home. Right in the Houston area. And it was brighter than the country. Because you see, what happens is that we have our own hurricanes in this life, don't we? And they come in and they knock out the power grid of our idols. They knock out the power grid of our security. They knock out the power grid of the things that we look to for hope, the things that we look to for joy, the things outside of Christ that we think will finally bring satisfaction. And these storms of our life can come in. And if we see that all of a sudden we are left bare, all of a sudden then the promises of God shine right through, don't they? Because that's all we have to cling to. It's in those moments, once again, you might be the one who needs the rest the most, and instead what you are given is the comfort of the promises of God in the moment because the storm came in and took out all of your idols. I'm going to read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 4 through 6. It says this. It says, I am acting with great boldness toward you. I have great pride in you. And then listen to what he says. I am filled with comfort. In all our affliction, I am overflowing with joy. And then listen to what he says. For even when we came into Macedonia, then listen, our bodies had no rest. There was no rest to be found. We were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us. Jesus says once again, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. To those this morning who either think that they know Jesus and don't, who are unsure if they know Jesus and don't, I have a final word for you. The diagnosis is pretty easy, even for non-Christians, often to make of ourselves. We see our heart as restless. There's actually a favorite quote of mine. I've said it before. I want to put it up here for us all. It's by Augustine, who said, Thou hast made us for Thyself, O Lord, and our hearts are forever restless until they find their rest in Thee. For those who are here this morning who have maybe accurately diagnosed your heart that you are restless, but instead what you're doing is you're taking caffeine, right? To answer all of your tiredness, all of the restlessness. So we pour for ourselves things like a good bank account, our health, our careers. We drink the caffeine of our family or our grades or our physical appearance. Certainly this will bring an answer to the restlessness of my soul. It will give me energy and strength. And it's the wrong remedy because we wake up the next morning and we're unchanged. Would you finally let go this morning? Would you let go? Stop the caffeine. Come to a point of ugly prayer. Just let it go. There is one remedy and one alone, and it is, once again, the gospel. And I'm going to read to you, and then I'll pray. The final verses that my prayer has been for us to live out this morning. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. As I pray, if the people who are here this morning, who are part of the prayer team, would go to the locations, and I just want to especially challenge you this morning. You may need to come before God with ugly prayer. Your heart may be in such a tough place mentally and such a tough place psychologically, and you're worn out, you're fatigued. I want to encourage you. These people are here to pray with you. If it's an ugly prayer, we can step back in the kitchen, all right? If you're here this morning and you're just physically tired and you say, hey, I need someone to pray for me. I need my strength renewed. Maybe you're all poured out in relation to ministry and you need someone to just be able to say, hey, rest and rest well. Please seek out these people during this time as we have this final song. The song also, as the music folks come up, is one that really spoke to me. Yesterday I called the worship folks and said, hey, let's change it up and sing this one. And so my prayer is that this also will minister to you. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, Lord, pray that if there is artificial light right now in the hearts of people, that it would go away. Lord, that it would fall to the ground. Father, would people see the true light of Christ? Lord, whether it's a storm that takes it out, whether it's a retreat, Lord, that if there are people here who need to have ugly prayers, there are people who need restoration from either sickness or physical exhaustion, Lord, would they seek out prayer? Would they seek you out this morning? We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.